Harton Barker is. Well, Harton Barker is an old man that lives up in North Carolina and is quite a character. And this is along the same lines as the one I just sang. This is called Our Darling Blue-Haired Boy. And it has a good chorus, and oh, it's really a sad chorus, too. Oh, he's gone forevermore, is our darling blue-haired boy. We'll never see our darling anymore. Like a dream, he passed away upon the 39th of May. He never died so suddenly before. Try that chorus now. Oh, he's gone forevermore, is our darling blue-haired boy. We'll never see our darling anymore. Like a dream, he passed away upon the 39th of May. He never died so suddenly before. All we knew he of, no more upon the mat will he play the pussycat. No more between his teeth he'll hold her tail. No more he'll rub her nose upon the red-hot iron stove, or little Jimmy's really kicked the pail. Oh, he's gone forevermore, is our darling blue-haired boy. We'll never see our darling anymore. Like a dream, he passed away upon the 39th of May. He never died so suddenly before. We knew he was departed by the color of his breath. We saw his eyeballs drooping in the mud. Says the doc, the only thing to save this boy from certain death is to stop the circulation of his blood. Oh, he's gone forevermore, is our darling blue-haired boy. We'll never see our darling anymore. Like a dream, he passed away upon the 39th of May. He never died so suddenly before. Well, we filled his mouth with glue just to bring the poor boy through, but though our efforts, they were all in vain. No matter what we tried, still he sneezed and smiled and died, then blew his nose and smiled and died again. Oh, he's gone forevermore, is our darling blue-haired boy. We'll never see our darling anymore. Like a dream, he passed away upon the 39th of May. He never died so suddenly before. He's gone forevermore at the age of 94. There's no one in this world his life could save. So I'm going to the barber shop there to fill his last request and plant a bunch of whiskers on his grave. Oh, he's gone forevermore, is our darling blue-haired boy. We'll never see our darling anymore. Like a dream, he passed away upon the 39th of May. He never died so suddenly before. Evelyn, I know, well, you'd like to hear more lyric things, I imagine.
Oh, go ahead.
Would you like to sing it?
He's selling the IRA.
Well, I'm Irish, but I don't know any IRAs.
Please tell us that you text it.
Where'd you collect those songs? Read that last one.
That one came from North Carolina, Harton Barker, and the one I sang before that was Oliver Woods in Lewistown, Montana. Well, I was trying to think of something that Evelyn would like to have you hear.
What time is it?
Time? It's 20 after 11. Why?
I think we in less than an hour, it'll be our 19th anniversary.
Oh, bravo!
Single wedding
song.
Well, I'm not in voice right now. Well, now, here's a commercial thing that we did. We had a hell of a time with this, to be truthful with you. We had no other purpose in mind but to
sell it and make a lot of money. But it happened that I don't think we succeeded. We might yet, I don't know. The Shiloh battle anniversary, 100th anniversary, was on the 7th of April. So we wrote a song that we thought we would try to sell them on using for their 100th anniversary. Everybody in the whole state of Tennessee was crazy about the song, but the man at the battlefield at Shiloh, who was a little man who was very, he was just so busy getting ready for this thing, and they had, they had a lady coming from Washington to sing the Star Spangled Banner, and they were going
to
sing America the Beautiful,
and
the programs were already printed, and they just didn't see how they could use this song. But anyway, for what it's worth, here it is. This is Taps, in case you don't know.
She said, wait just a moment till I get my shoe.
With it flagged up. And here's a song about a champion dog. Oh, now you may know this tune. I don't know. It wasn't written as a tune. This is a poem. I'll tell you more about it after I sing it. Oh, a farmer's dog come into town. His Christian name was Rex. Nobel was his pedigree. Unusual was his text. And as he trotted down the street, 'twas wonderful to see his work on every corner and his mark on every tree. He watered every gateway too and never missed a post. For piddling was his specialty and piddling was his boast. The city dogs looked on amazed in deep and jealous rage to see a simple country dog, the piddler of the age. So all the dogs from everywhere were summoned with a yell to sniff the country stranger o'er and judge him by the smell. Some thought that he a king might be beneath his tail arose. So all the dogs drew near to him and sniffed him up their nose. They they smelled him over one by one, they smelled him two by two, and noble Rex in high disdain stood still till they were through. Then just to show the whole shebang, he didn't give a damn, he trotted in the grocery store and fiddled on a hare. He fiddled in a macro keg, he fiddled on the floor, and when the grocer kicked him out, he fiddled through the door. The city dogs looked on amazed in deep and jealous rage to see a simple, no, that's wrong. They sent for champion fiddlers who were always on the go, who sometimes did a fiddle stunt or gave a fiddle show. They sprung these on him suddenly when halfway through the town, but Rex just smiled and polished off the ablest white or brown, for he was with them every trick with vigor and with vim. A thousand puddles more or less were all the same to him. So he was wedding merrily with hind leg kicking high, when most were hoisting legs in bluff and fiddling mighty dry. And on Rex sought new grounds by heaps and piles of rust, till all the city dogs went dry and fiddled only dust. And on went noble Rex as wet as any rill, till all the champion city pups were fiddled to a standstill. Then Rex did freehand fiddling with fancy flirts and clips, like double dip and gimlet twist, and all the latest hits. And all the while this city dog did neither smile nor grin, but fiddled blithely out of town as he had fiddled in. The city dogs a convention held to ask what did defeat us, but no one ever put them wise that Rex had diabetes. Well, I tell you, anybody could get that. That's a poem by Eugene Field. Yeah.
More salty song.
More salty song. Ryeball. Okay, here's... well, I don't know. You may have heard this. Now, Bob... Gibson did a recording of this, but I collected a much better version of it right here in Florida, and you may have heard it. Maybe it's old stuff around here.
From whom?
From Mrs. Moon, you know, the woman who played the harp today.
That lady from
Florida. Filthy song is delightful. We
can do this. That lady, I don't know.
Oh, is that right? Well, she's a wonderful woman, and we sure have enjoyed knowing her. But I think this is one of the funniest songs that I've ever run across. And you've probably heard her sing this, or maybe you haven't. I don't know.
Anyway, and when we first heard Mrs. Moon at a national festival in Nashville, Tennessee, and it was at one of these gatherings afterwards, she had just finished singing these lovely Irish songs with the harp, and she said, "Oh, wait a minute, I've got one I think you'd like," and she took up her guitar and sang this song, and we all were just...
We sang all night. We started singing. We had an apartment there for about 2 weeks in Nashville, and we started singing in our apartment, and then the police came up and stopped us. There were about 50 people,
and you know,
crammed in about two rooms.
Sarah Gertrude Knott, and May Kennedy McCord from Springfield, Missouri, Philip Kennedy, Bob and myself, and Mary Agnes Starr from up in Wisconsin.
Oh, we had
there are about
people
15 people.
Okay, here it is. This is the poor young man from Gainesville. He went to New York. Once there was a poor young man, and he left his happy home, and he went to look for work in gay New York. In gay New York, you know? And when he got to that big city, he got himself a job in a stone quarry with a lot of other college graduates. Other college graduates. Well, they took him out one night and they tempted him to drink, but he promised his dear oldie mother he never would. He never would. But they jeered him and they cursed him and they called him a coward. so at last he looked, took one little glass of beer.
A wine glass of beer.
And when he seen what he had did, he dashed that glass upon the floor and went out of that room with a case of delirium tremens. With delirium tremens. And when he got outside the door, he met a Salvation Army girl. With one sorry blow, he busted her tambourine.
Her tambourine.
And when she seen what he had did, she placed a mark upon his brow with a kick that she had learned before she got saved.
Before she got saved.
Now listen, folks, take my advice and shun that little glass of beer. And don't go around busting other people's tambourines.
Other people's tambourines.
Is that as you know? Exactly as you know? Yeah. That's much better than Bob Gibson's.
There's another one, the companion. That's the devil's poor young mate. This is poor young man.
Sing it.
I don't know the damn thing.
Oh.
But she goes on a streetcar, and the fellow has a mustache, and it turns out
to be
Jack. Her fiance, Jack. He pulls off the mustache, and.
Yeah.
It's a real wild thing. The person who has a recording of it, two people I know, Oscar Brand has one, that's Songs That Kill Vaudeville.
We were with him just about 2 weeks ago.
Joey Carter, comedian, of all people, does one, but it's very funny with an auto harp. Those are wonderful. The two songs are they're written by the same person.
I just keep singing here. Here's one called Guy Jingo. I learned this from my own grandfather, who visited us once when we were living in Joliet, Illinois, and he was never quite comfortable in the big city. And this was during the Depression. There were a lot of hobos, and they must have had an X sign outside of our door because they always came to our door. And this hobo and my grandfather sat down on the steps, and they were comparing tunes, and this is a tune that he picked up at the time. By, and this is a good chorus, everybody can sing it. By jingo, by golly, by gosh, and by Jesus, a man has a right for to do what he pleases. Try it. By jingo, by golly, by gosh, and by Jesus, a man has a right for to do what he pleases. With a bag full of grub and a dusty guitar, I walked on his tracks and I grabbed me a car. I went to the Chicago and went to the north, where I met an inspector and the whole damn police force. By jingo, by golly, by gosh, and by Jesus, a man has the right for to do what he pleases. So I talked to the sergeant and I talked to the bail, but I didn't have money, so they put me in jail. I sought by a window and sought out a bar. Now Sam's in the jailer, that's a going too far. By jingo, by golly, by gosh, and by Jesus, a man has the right for to do what he pleases. It was late in December when I finally got out, a hell of a time for to wander about. So I went to a bar where I asked for a drink. Get out, said the barman, or go back to the clink. By jingo, by golly, by gosh, and by Jesus, a man has the right for to do what he pleases. So I went to a church where I sang and I prayed. Come up, said the preacher, your soul for to save. He clapped and he shouted and rolled up his eyes. I thought for a minute he was fixing to die. By jingo, by golly, by gosh, and by Jesus, a man has the right for to do what he pleases. So they passed me a book and they passed me a plate, the most generous bunch in the whole goddamn state. The next thing I knowed, I was down to the station with a deacon and choir and the whole congregation. By jingo, by golly, by gosh, and by Jesus, a man has the right for to do what he pleases. So I'll tell you good people to take my advice. You can get into trouble just playing with dice. But when you reach for collection, be careful as hell. They'll string you up quicker than heaven can tell.
Bravo. Can you do the ball of
Bally? Oh, I'm afraid I'm limited.
Since you
tell you, why don't we, I don't sing these just for rowdy punches like this.
Rowdy?
I sing
here.
a cymbal. They're usually very taller, and you play them standing up, play them hammered.
How many keys can you play this?
Any key.
Really?
Yeah. See, it's completely chromatic. I tend to sing in certain keys just because our voices are seem to be in that range. But I play in the key of G, F, D, A, C. I rarely play in the key of B, but I play in most. Yes, every key has a different playing technique.
Anyone do?
And of course, guitar does too, more or less, because unless you use a capo. But I have to play a different technique on every key. Yes. About 100 years.
Well, actually, child ballads are terrible.
I know. We tried to look up the company that made this, but they're out of business, and
they're all English and Scotch.
Even the place where the street and the houses and everything are gone, so you can't. Couldn't locate.
Where do I see Scotch originally?
Arabia. Yeah.
About how old?
5,000 years. They had a 7-stringed instrument in Arabia, and it went to Greece, and it in Greece it became a 20-stringed instrument and as many as 40 strings. And the Greeks devised the tuning, the modern tuning system, and the bridges that you see on this. And then it went to Europe and all over the world, from Greece, you might say. This has, if I had them all on, it'd be 104.
How about you?
Well, why don't we finish do Nancy Whiskey? Somebody wanted that, and we'll do with that. We'll do that other drinking song. That's that I always do the two together.
I'm sorry, I misinterpreted.
The what is it? Devilish Nancy.
Devilish Nancy.
Okay.
Back to the Carlton Women. I'm sure.
objective in life was to do something with old-time fiddling that would reveal the true nature of the art, not as opposed, you see, to the commercial hillbilly fiddling, which has left a kind of a distaste in most people's mouths. So I did a portrayal on a concert program of my own grandfather. I had started out for 3 years. I toured as a concert violinist for an agency in New York. And as you may have read, it's a rough life. There's only about 10 violinists who are really making it, and making it a full-time occupation. Well, I just couldn't make it, so I decided to use a full program of folk music for violin. So, well, that wandered in. I should say first that that I started out with a half and half program. On the last program like that we had, I did the Franck Sonata, Franck Violin Sonata, and the Mozart D Major Violin Concerto, and a couple of concert pieces on the first half of the program. And then in the second half, I came out as my grandfather, Fiddler Beers, and I did a half-hour resume of all kinds of fiddling, and a lot of later on from all over the world. Well, then the after that, the next program that we did a year or so later was all folk music. Some of it was authentic, and some of it was arranged. For instance, we did, oh, golly, I can't think of the name of that Russian, oh, heck, it's something like the Saber Dance. Can't think of the name of it, but it is, and a lot of Rimsky-Korsakov stuff was done for, written from Russian fiddle music. Well, anyway, I can't think what it was. And I did a group of Hungarian, authentic Hungarian gypsy fiddling. And from that, I got the name Fiddler, and that is stuck.